I had spent the past few hours driving down the Nevada desert, 200 miles into the middle of nowhere. That was my current job as a delivery driver, and if not for the tremendous pay, I would have refused it. Just don't look inside the boxes and don't be late, my boss had ordered. Why not? What's inside them? I don't ask questions and neither should you. He'd even left me a note on the dashboard. It contained a time and a place, nothing more, nothing less. As I drove down Route 50, I started to reconsider my career choice. Around me was nothing but inhospitable desert in every direction. Should I have broken down, I doubt anyone would have cared enough to pick me up. In the back of my van lay 10 boxes. They were cold to the touch and emitted a strange clicking noise. In a way, it was oddly hypnotizing and just added to my already insatiable curiosity. After an exhausting drive, I finally reached my destination. A truck and several black cars met me on the wayside, along a crowd of people dressed in suits. "Do you have the package?" the oldest one of them asked. I guess it's in the back." They started unloading the clicking boxes. Curiosity got the best of me, and I had to ask. "So, what's the deal anyway?" I asked. They didn't respond. Instead, they just grabbed one of the boxes and opened it. Inside lay 3 ostrich-sized eggs. They observed it for a few seconds before a concerned look appeared on their faces. "We have to initiate the project immediately." Then they turned their attention to me. One of them handed me an envelope containing my payment in cash. "You can leave now," he said without the faintest hint of emotion in his voice. As I started driving, I glanced over at the men in suits. They quickly cut open each and every box before opening the back of their truck. Inside stood about a dozen sickly-looking people, all wearing terrified expressions on their faces. One of the men held a gun to them as to keep them inside, while the others rushed to toss the eggs into the truck. Hoping they hadn't seen me, I just kept driving away to the sound of muffled screams coming from the truck. Once out of sight, I immediately called the police. I just prayed that they could do something, but out in the middle of nowhere, I knew they'd be too late. The trainee fiddled nervously with the package as we approached our destination. Despite having the appearance of a normal training exercise, he seemed oddly on edge. "So, what are we delivering?" he asked as he gently shook the package. "Hey, don't do that. It might be fragile," I responded. He put the package down. I shouldn't have let him touch the damn thing, but he let curiosity get the better of him. "Doesn't matter, we're almost there," I said as we pulled into a rundown neighborhood. The street was filled with odd-looking people. All of them were bald and pale as sheets. They observed us as we passed by, smiling wide. "Why are they staring at us?" the trainee asked. I sighed. "Let's just mind our own business. I want to get out of here as soon as possible." We parked outside the largest house on the street. It looked ancient and in dire need of repair. "All right, let's go," I ordered. The trainee carried the package while I knocked on the door. A sickly, thin man in his late 60s opened the door. He seemed happy to see us, yet his smile didn't contain the faintest hint of friendliness. "George, it has been too long," the man said with a raspy voice. I just nodded in return. "I see they decided to keep you after all. You finally signed the agreement?" he asked. Yeah, let's just get this over with. I have your package. The man looked over at the trainee, studying him from top to bottom.
Is that for me?
Yeah, here you go, sir, the trainee stuttered. The pale man grabbed the box and tossed it to the side.
Is there something wrong?
The trainee asked.
No, everything is perfect.
With that, he grabbed the trainee and plunged a syringe into his neck. The trainee let out a weak yelp before instantly falling limp to the ground.
Is he knocked out at least? I asked. Just paralyzed, I'm afraid. They need to be awake for the ritual. He needs to feel every cut of his skin or it won't work.
I gave the trainee a look of pity. I'm sorry, kid. I didn't have a choice. As I returned to the van, I sighed. It's either him or me. It was a false reassurance, one that wouldn't take away the guilt as I got ready to look for another victim. For 7 years, I transported deliveries to the same house. Each week, like clockwork, I dropped off a pallet of meat. It was enough to last any regular family for months. Yet, after 7 days, it would be empty. The elderly woman was the sole inhabitant of the rundown house. Her frame was thin, almost emaciated. Despite the excessive amounts of meat, she never seemed to gain any weight. Whether she donated the food or had massive barbecue parties, I didn't know. I even attempted to alert the authorities, claiming I was worried about her diminishing weight, but they never checked up on her. I just did my job as told, not digging into the issue any further. Until last week. I dropped the pallet off like usual and knocked on the door. No response. I waited a couple of minutes, as I required a signature to confirm the delivery, but she never showed up. Feeling mildly concerned, I circled the house. I knocked on each window as I passed, hoping for a response. They were covered by a weird substance, making it impossible to get a glimpse of the inside. Once I got to the back door, I knocked again. Upon hitting it with my fist, the door gently creaked open. Hello? I took a step inside, worried the frail old lady might have died. The stench of rotting flesh immediately assaulted my nostrils, and I feared the worst had happened. Carefully, I searched through the large house. I found scraps of moldy meat strewn across the floor. I was about ready to call an ambulance when I first noticed a strange mass in one of the corners. It looked like a skin-covered, pulsating blob. Slim tendrils stretched out from its base and covered the floor like veins. I followed the largest of them into the bedroom and almost puked from the smell. The entire room was covered in mucus-covered skin, and in its center lay the old woman. Several tendrils which stretched out from the skin-covered walls had seemingly sucked her dry and stripped her of her own fat and muscles. As I stepped over to check for any signs of life, the skin retracted. My mere presence was enough to awaken the tendrils, and I fled out from the house as they reached after me. Once safe inside my own truck, I called the police, and that was it. After a few questions, they sent me on my way and called in a team to investigate the house. A few days later, I drove down the same street on an unrelated delivery. By then, the house had been demolished, and no newspaper or any other sources could confirm it ever existed.